Welcome to one of my favorite groups of people, BYD alumni. I hope this recording finds you well, begashmias uveruchnias. We are currently in the period of Sfiras HaOmer, counting down, or rather up, the days from Yetzias Mitzrayim to Matan Torah, which was really the whole objective of attaining freedom on Pesach. These should be exceedingly joyous days as we go from the bondage of the Shibud to becoming the Am HaNivchar on Shavuos. However, as you well know, instead of being one long Chol HaMoed, these days have become days of mourning due to the death of the students of Rabbi Akiva, Shelo Nahagu Kavod Ze Bazeh. This Friday, we will be celebrating Lag BaOmer, the day when their deaths stopped and, according to one opinion, ceased completely. If we take a moment to ponder that, it really doesn't make sense. Allow me to explain with what perhaps is a jarring mashal. There was once a man who had 10 children. Sadly, 2 children passed away from an illness at a young age, 3 from a genetic disease, and the other 5, together with their mother, were tragically killed in a car crash, Rachmana Litzlan. After the avelos for the last family member was over, this gentleman rented a hall, a caterer, a band, and invited the whole community to a celebration, complete with barbecued food, bonfires, kumsitzes, and roasted marshmallows. What was the occasion? Well, after all, his family member stopped dying. Although it's not a perfect mashal, we can compare this to the celebrations of Lag BaOmer. Yes, they stopped dying, but perhaps it was because there was no one left to die? I know we're all familiar with the fact that 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva died during this tekufa. Let's pause for a moment to really understand what that means. If they died for 33 days, that's about 727 students per day. Someone runs in to the Beis Medrash and says to Rabbi Akiva, "Rebbe, Shlaimi, you know that funny guy with the red hair? Yeah, he just passed away. Can you be maspid him at the Levaya? It's in Tveria." And then in the middle of the Levaya, someone says, "Rebbe, quick, you have to go to Be'er Sheva. Maishi just passed away. Nebach, his wife just gave birth to their 4th child." And to make it more painful, Rabbi Akiva was not one of those people who had an easy life. Not at all. Rabbi Akiva grew up poor, with no education, no yichus, not even the ability to read. He took a job as a shepherd, which was not the most noble profession at the time. He worked for a wealthy man named Kalba Savua, whose daughter Rachel saw the spark of greatness in him and fanned it into a flame. But oh no, don't think that Akiva and Rachel galloped into the sunset. Rather, once Kalba Savua found out that she wanted to marry him, he disowned her financially and they had to live a life of poverty. Rabbi Akiva had to work exceedingly hard to reach the incredible levels that he attained, beginning with the Aleph Beis at age 40 and continuing step by step until he had amassed tens of thousands of students and became so great that Moshe Rabbeinu, when shown the future generations and saw Rabbi Akiva, asked Hashem incredulously, "Why would you give the Torah through me, Hashem, if you have him?" Can you imagine the emotional toll? Can you imagine what would have gone through our minds? After all the hard work I've done in my life, after all the changes I made, this is what the script is? I don't think any of us would blame him if he was angry at Hashem, or even if he wasn't, but he put the blame on himself instead and said something like, "Well, I guess this is a clear sign I'm just not cut out to be a teacher. I should probably look into accounting or physical therapy or psychology. Or maybe I should just retire early and move to Florida." But no. What did Rabbi Akiva do? Rabbi Akiva brushed himself off. He picked himself up and he began recruiting new Talmidim. he started again with five Talmidim, who ended up being the bearers of the Mesorah that has continued to be passed down till this very day. Dear alumni, what we are celebrating on Lag BaOmer is the resilience of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's ability to not throw in the towel even after such a life-changing blow. Ladies, we all experience setbacks and at times even devastating blows. It can be in a variety of areas, shidduchim, marriage, health, child rearing, finances, relationships, in our avodas Hashem, our learning, our davening, our midos. But in order to be mekabel Torah, we need to take the lesson of Lag BaOmer first. And we need to learn to be like Rabbi Akiva. We need to know that we can't get stuck in our mistakes. We can't get stuck in our setbacks. But we need to get up, brush ourselves off, and continue to move forward. I once heard that the reason why the Ribono Shel Olam gave us eyes in the front of our heads and not in the back, although you could have sworn as a child that your mother or teacher did have eyes in the back of her head, well, you were mistaken. But the reason for that is because Hashem wants us to keep moving forward. Just look ahead. Don't get stuck in the past. What is one of the symbols of Shavuos? Grain. Picture a field of grain. As the wind blows, it bends and gets up again. It bends and gets up again. In fact, one of the words in Hebrew for grain is kamos, milashon lakum, to get up. We need to know that we need to be able to bend and move and be flexible and get up again and again. Who is the heroine of Shavuos? Rus. Switch around the letters of Rus and you get Vitur, Milashon Vatranos, giving in, being flexible, not being rigid. Rus went from being a Moabi princess to being a widow, moving to a new country, reduced to gathering food in the field like a beggar, eventually becoming the matriarch of the Davidic dynasty. And with each situation in life, she acclimated, she changed, she evolved into someone better and better. She didn't get stuck. She moved forward. We know the story of Moshe Rabbeinu going up to Shamayim to receive the Torah, to learn the Torah. And we hear stories of Midrashim where he was accosted by Malachim who said, "Tanahotcha b'shamayim Hashem. What are you doing giving the Torah to people? People are so riddled with flaws. Keep the Torah pristine and pure and perfect here in Shamayim." So Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, "You answer them. Hold on to my kisei hakavod and answer them." And we know a few answers and responses that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to the Malachim. And one of the answers he gave, defending the plan to bring Torah down to Klal Yisrael, was Malachim, "You don't have knees." Remember the pasuk perhaps you had to memorize in Yeshayahu? Serafim omdim mima'alo. Malachim stand. They don't bend. They have no knees. What does that mean? It means that Malachim don't have the ability to bend. They can't fall and get up. They are stuck. They're just rigid. And to be Mekabel Torah, you cannot be rigid. You have to have the ability to have resilience and get up even when there is opposition externally, internally. We need to be able to get up and move forward. Ladies, sometimes we make mistakes. And being good Jewish women, we beat ourselves up. "I didn't handle that financial decision well. I didn't choose to behave like my highest self. I chose to say something hurtful," and on and on. Sometimes we feel we've even done irreparable damage. Let us be like Rabbi Akiva. Don't get so wrapped up with yourself and your mistakes. We have four steps of tshuva, Move on. Brush it off. Keep moving. This is normal. This is life. A heartbeat that is alive and well goes up and down, up and down. That is a good thing. That is a sign of life. That is a sign of health. How did we learn how to walk, ride a bike, rollerblade? We fell, we got up, we fell, we got up until we mastered it. I tell over a story along these lines that many of you have heard from me, but it bears repeating. When I had just given birth to my oldest. He was born in April, and I was doing the report cards at the end of the year, and it was June. And so it was too much for me to balance in those days, you know, watching a newborn and doing report cards. And, you know, many of us have Chasdei Hashem evolved where we have to balance much more than that in order to get things done. But in those days, it was too much for me. So my husband was watching little Yosef, and but then he had to go to Mincha. So again, being that it was too much to multitask like that, I asked my husband if we could drive a couple blocks to my parents' house and my parents would be happy to watch the baby while I finished up the report cards. I was almost done anyways, just another half hour to an hour's worth of work. So we put Yosef in the car. We start driving down Colfax. And as we're heading down Colfax, I see like lots of papers are circling all over Colfax. It happened to have been a windy afternoon. And I thought to myself, and I said out loud, oh my gosh, that's so sad. Somebody just lost a bunch of papers. Oh my gosh, it's my report cards. Help. I told my husband, I said, just wake me up when this is over. I cannot believe this is happening. I remembered a mashal from high school. We won't go into that right now. But I took a deep breath, got myself together. I asked my husband to drop me off on the corner, drop off Yosef at my parents, and I began picking up paper after paper after paper. From 14th and Tennyson all the way to 16th and Vrain, as you remember Denver, his west side, they were all over the place. But I got almost every paper. I'm missing one. Hani Sirota, if you're listening, I was missing one part of your report card. Some had tire marks on them. They didn't look as beautiful as they had in my folder originally. Apparently, I had left the papers on top of the car, and chalk it up to baby fog, but post baby fog. But I had left them on top of the car, and we drove off, and they began to flutter all over. Baruch Hashem, the baby was in the car, and just the papers on the top. But in any case, this is what I needed to do, and it's a lesson for the future. When we feel like all is lost, just start again. Pick up one paper, and then another paper, and another paper, and you'd be surprised. You might be able to accomplish more than you expect. We say in Hallel, and again in Ashrei, a pasuk that says, Va'anachnu nevarech ka, and we will bless Hashem. Me'ata v'ad olam, from now until forever. I might have messed up before Hashem, even if it might have been 5 minutes ago, or it might have been for my entire life. But me'ata, I am beginning again now. Me'ata emirtz Hashem v'ad olam. I'm going to begin again now. It's never too late to begin again now. Ladies, let us take this lesson with us to begin again, to always be hopeful, optimistic, and try again and again like Rabbi Akiva. As we march towards Kabbalas HaTorah, Hashem should bless Ma'aseh Yadeinu. Thank you.